Please be seated. Welcome to everyone here this morning, and a special welcome to any visitors here today. Today's service will include communion, even though the notices say that it's next week. I've got a couple of extra notices here. The fashion show held here on Friday raised a total of £180. So many thanks to all those involved in the organisation of the evening and, of course, those who attended. All the food donated last week for the Harvest Festival was taken to St David's Food Bank, and they were absolutely delighted and very grateful. So thanks for all your donations. And finally, a reminder that next Saturday, the 22nd of October, will be our joint Baptist and Methodist away day. Full details are on the notice sheet, and today is your last chance to add your name to the list in the porch if you'd like to come. Our service today is being led by Reverend Peter Strong. Peter recently retired from Carey Baptist Church in Kettering, and I'm sure you'll all join with me in welcoming him here today. Thank you, Peter.
Well, thank you for your welcome. I'm often confused with Paul Greenaway. We were in the same class together at school, and we do a lot of things in different... We often go to the same places, but not together. So people do sometimes think we are the other one. But I am Peter, and he is Paul. And that's how it is. It's nice to be here this morning. I did go to a church not long ago, and I stood there, and I said, I think I forgot to turn my oven on this morning, and my chicken's going to get cold. And somebody suddenly got up and ran out the church. And then they appeared about half an hour later, having forgotten their oven also. So if you've forgotten your oven, if you go out during the first hymn and come back in time for the sermon. We're going to worship the Lord. We're going to seek to find out what he has to say to us this morning. And we're going to begin with a few verses from a psalm. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits. He forgives your sins, he heals your diseases, he redeems your life, he crowns you with love and compassion. Indeed, he satisfies all your desires with good things. We're going to sing our first hymn. I presume it's on the screen, and it's Jesus is the name we honour. let's come to God in prayer. Let's pray. Father God, we do come this morning to worship you and to bless you, to recognise who you are and what you've given to us in Jesus Christ. Lord, you are our Father and our God. You are our Creator and our Sustainer. You are the one who gives to us a blessing each day. You are the one who hears our prayers, who answers our prayers, who is interested in our lives. Lord, we come this morning to you and we ask that you will help us to see you perhaps more clearly, to open our eyes and to understand just who it is we are speaking to and dealing with when we talk to Almighty God. And we come to this morning, Lord, and we ask your forgiveness on our lives, for as we draw close to you, we're very conscious that we're not the people we ought to be. We've said things, we've done things, we've failed to do things, and you've been disappointed. And we've disappointed ourselves, Lord. Lord, we come this morning and we ask again your forgiveness. If we confess our sins, then you are faithful and you are just, and you forgive us our sins and you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we gather this morning in your house to seek that pardon again. To be able to leave this place this morning, leaving behind our sins, leaving behind our failures, trusting that Jesus Christ is sufficient to deal with such things, and heading out into the world, filled again with your Spirit, we pray, to live out our lives to your honour and to your glory. So bless us, we pray. Speak to us through this service this morning. May it be, Lord, that we hear your voice and we're encouraged by your Spirit to respond to it. Lord, hear our prayers because we ask them in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read a few verses, a familiar story from Matthew's Gospel, starting at chapter 7 and verse 24. Therefore, everybody who hears my words and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation in rock. But those who hear these words of mine and do not put them into practice are like the foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. We thank God for his words. Now, I don't know, there's some children hiding. It's a difficult time in Baptist churches these days because it's a children's talk and there's no children, I often find. Years ago, there used to be loads on the front row, didn't there? But I wish I'd tell you a couple of stories. I took my car in to be serviced recently. Now, when you take your car into be serviced, you used to drop it off, and at the end of the day, you'd pick it up, and it would be done. And all you've got to do is pay the bill. That's all, isn't it? I'm finding going to the dentist is the most painful thing, is paying the bill at the end. Do you find that? Because there's an injection for everything else. But there's no injection for the bill. So I went to drop my car off, and half an hour after I dropped my car off, I had a text. Now, since the COVID, I've got myself a phone. I used to not have a telephone, because I tell my kids, I've been able to leave the house and come back without a phone all my life, and I've managed okay. But my kids don't believe me. So they've got me a phone, so I can get home and go out and be safe. And that's what they do. That's what they've done to me. So I've got a phone. So anyway, I got this text, and on the text was a little video. And the video had a video of my car underneath. So what happened is I'd taken the car in, and then the mechanic had walked underneath with his cap, with his phone, and he'd taken a video of my car underneath. I have to say to you, my car looks very different underneath than on the top. In fact, it could have been somebody else's car, let's be honest. And he walks around and he shows you the brakes and he shows you the exhaust and he shows you these things that he doesn't think are very good. And he makes some comments. Now, I'll be honest with you, I thought my car was all right when I took it in. It looked pretty good to me. I'd polished it, I'd cleaned the windscreen, and it was okay. It might need a new windscreen wiper, I knew that, but I didn't ever look underneath like he did. And he told me the things that he needed doing. Now, you see, I take my car in for service once a year. And every year they do it and look after it, and I suppose from now on I'm going to get a video, aren't I, on my phone. And I'm going to have to watch it and hear all the comments. And it means then that when you get to the painful bit at the end of the day, you're expecting it more, doesn't it? When they say 500 quid, you're not surprised because he's shown you all your problems. Now, I want to say to you this morning, you know, we need to come to a service. My car needs a service. You and I need a service. Not once a year, not every Christmas and every Easter. We need a regular service. And you know as well as I do, you take your car in for a service so it doesn't break down and let you down and fail you. You take it so it's safe. You take it so it does handle better. And this morning, as we come into God's house, as we come into a service, I like to think, and particularly as we're heading towards communion at the end, that God is looking underneath you. Now, that's a bit of a shock, isn't it? But I think God's looking into your heart. And as we go through the service, he's going to be shining, because I don't know about you, whether you know, but there's a light on these things, isn't there? Which you can shine. I can't turn it on. I can't turn it off. But there's a light on these things that you can see things more clearly. And I think as we go through this morning's service, I believe by God's Spirit, he's going to speak to us. He's going to touch our hearts. He's going to point out things that you need to think about. Things perhaps you hadn't thought about before. Things that need addressing. We don't just come in this morning and just smile at each other and have a cup of coffee at the end. We come in this morning to be adjusted. To have a service, a true service. To be changed and to be made different. When I leave the garage after my car's been serviced, it does handle better. It is more economical and the brakes work better. And I hope and pray, after being at service this morning, we are the same. We handle better, we behave better, and we are more useful and less chance of breaking down. You know, if you go outside, I often drive around and see buses coming towards you, and they often say these days, "Sorry, not in service." It's an interesting comment, isn't it? "Sorry, not in service," which means you can't get on it. It's no good. It's not available. And you know, when I used to be a minister at Carey, if I went out in the town in the week, I often met people who come up to me and say, "I'm sorry I wasn't in service, but..." And they give me a whole list of reasons why they couldn't get to church on Sunday. And I say, "Look, I don't care. It's not me who's losing. It's you're the loser. If you don't allow God to bless you and change you and point you in a different direction and forgive your sins, then you're the loser, not me." Now, I just want to say one other thing. I went to Cornwall a few weeks ago. I took my New Zealand, my niece came from New Zealand with her husband, and they came to see me, and they wanted to go to Cornwall. So I took them to Cornwall. When we got to Cornwall, Nick had never seen Cornwall or Cornish pasties. So every day for the whole 7 days, we had a different Cornish pasty. It's not, you've got to do it, haven't you, sometime. I would never go on my own. I never had one every day, but we had to try different ones. And what happened was, we'd go into places and we'd start looking at pasties. And we'd look through the window, because some places there's quite a few pasty shops. You know that, don't you? Some days there's some pasty shops, there's one after the other, row after row of pasty shops. So what me and Nick would do is, we'd look in the window and we'd decide which are the best pasty. And in the end, I used to talk to Nick and I'd say, "Nick, you know, we need a proper look at those pasties. A proper look, not just through the window. We need to go in, buy the pasty, and then we need to go and sit outside and eat it." That's what I call a proper look at a pasty. When you actually eat it right to the very end. And he's in New Zealand now, and I've been texting him, and I've been telling him I've been having proper looks at fish and chips and goodness knows what. And he finds it quite amusing. But you know, this morning, we've come for a proper look at Jesus. A proper look. Not just through the window. I hope we're going to eat and drink of his body and his blood. I hope we're going to take him into our lives and allow it to change. Just for the Methodists here, if you do go to St. Ives, there's a rather nice Methodist church in that street that's parallel with the front, St. Ives in Cornwall. And just opposite the Methodist church is a gorgeous pasty shop. And we had a real proper look at these pasties, and they're so nice. And then we bought the pasties, and then we sat in the Methodist church yard on the seats they provided for people as old as me to sit. and we sat in the Methodist churchyard and ate the pasty. So if you go to Cornwall, the Methodist church and the pasty shop opposite is the place to go, okay? Just so you know. But this morning we've come to hear the good news of Jesus Christ and to have a proper look at him and to taste and to see that the Lord is good. Now we're going to sing. And we're going to sing our second hymn, which will be on the board there, because I don't know what it is. Lord, I lift your name on high. And when we finish singing, someone's going to come forward and talk to us about the away day. I understand. So, there we are. We stand to sing.
About the away day next Saturday. It's absolutely our opportunity to have a say, to express our opinions, to give our thoughts about the way forwards for this church. It's an invitation to all of you. I'm going to ask a few people to stand up. They didn't know I was going to do this. Catherine, to stand up. Pam, Trevor. At the back, Adrian, Mary, who else is here? Martin's not here, but Martin was on the group. Stephen Bath's not here, but he was on the group. Catherine Jones, I've got my list here, I've got a hit list. Right. Oh, Phil Leeson, he's not here this morning, is he? And Marilyn, don't hide there, I can see you. And Paul was on the list. Now, these people were part of putting the day together. They've found us a really nice place to go that's warm and comfortable. They've provided a most amazing lunch. And I can assure you, I've had one of Elaine's lunches before, and they are beautiful. They've also arranged for afternoon tea with scones and jam. Now, I know one of the people standing up here said she's not going home till she's had that. Now, it could be there's a reason you would like to go that's stopping you. Talk to one of us. It could be you can only go for half the day in the morning or half the day in the afternoon. That's fine. If there's a reason you would like to go or you want to go, speak to one of us and we'll sort it out for you. Thank you. Thank you, folks. You know, we've all got a past. It could be that you used to worship a different church, a different town, a different country, or you've been coming here for ages and we've done some wonderful things here in the past. But we need to hear about that. Could be that you've been in a worship group. Could be that you've been in a singing group or a drama group, or you've been involved in readings or prayers, all sorts of things. And you're thinking, I'd really like to do that, but nobody asks. Tell us. We need to hear. There's so many things we could do to make worship exciting. Maybe you've been out and done evangelism in the past. Perhaps you've talked to people about God. Perhaps you've shown people how they can have Jesus in their life. We need to hear about that as well. We need ideas. Could be as you go around Kingsthorpe, you think, oh, what we really need in this community is dot, dot, dot. Perhaps we could do that as a church. Perhaps we can. Perhaps we can meet that need. Maybe there's a way we can learn about God together. Maybe there's a way we can pray together. Perhaps there's ways we can care. This church is full of care and full of kindness. We've got it in abundance. And a Christian community to can show that outwards is an inviting place. Do I know of three babies that are going to be due to members of this congregation, grandchildren, children? Three babies due this winter. What can we do to make this church inviting, exciting, attractive to families? If you've got any of these ideas, this is what we're going to talk about in the morning. Then we're going to have our glorious lunch. Then in the afternoon, I'm sure you've wondered what's happening to that building over there. I was stuck in traffic right outside of it yesterday thinking, please God, we really need something to happen here. Perhaps you're wondering what the latest is here as well. Perhaps you're wondering what we're going to do as a church. These two churches that are coming together, worshipping together, growing a Christian community here in Kingsthorpe. I'm not suggesting we can do thousands of things all at once, because we can't. We have to take baby steps. But we really can make this a lively Christian community in Kingsthorpe for our community here. And next Saturday is our chance to talk about it. Together we can be strong, but with God we can be stronger. Please come. Please share. Tell us what you think.
Thank you. Thank you. Can we have a proper look at those scones? That's what you need. We're gonna say some prayers. We've got various people in the church who we need to pray for. And we're going to pray for the away day. We're going to pray for Martin and Sue Buckley, who are not well. Sue's just come out of hospital. And we're going to pray also for Kathy Berry, whose husband Chris died this week. So let's turn to God in prayer. Let's pray. Father God, we do pause and pray. We pray for others. We pray for their situations and circumstances. Lord, we believe that when we pray, things change. Things happen. Some people say coincidences take place after we pray, Lord, but we believe that prayer works and changes things. So we pray for this church. We pray for the names of those people we've just mentioned, for Martin and Sue Buckby, who are both unwell. We pray a blessing upon them and your peace and presence in their hearts. For Sue particularly, who's returned from hospital and needs a special blessing as she recovers at this time. Lord, we know many who are unwell. And we pray a blessing upon such friends. Be close to them, we pray. Encourage them and strengthen them. And as we come to this difficult time of the year for health, when people catch colds and things are around in the atmosphere, Lord, we pray a blessing on all of us, that we might know your presence and good health in this season of the year. We pray, Lord, for those who have been bereaved, and particularly this morning, we pray indeed for Kathy Berry, whose husband Chris died last weekend. We pray for her, Lord, as she plans the funeral, as she gets involved with family and friends at this time. Be close to her, Lord, we pray, and bless her, and for all that we know who are mourning, bring peace and hope and encouragement, we ask. We pray, Lord, for this church in its many aspects. We think of the away day on Saturday and the opportunities we have to pray together, to speak together, to laugh together, Lord, to eat together. May it be a time when we learn from you, when we find a new vision and a new hope for the future. Lord, we believe you have purposes and plans for us. We believe, Lord, that all we need to do is find out the way in which you want us to go. We don't want to bring so much our plans, but we want to find out what your plans are. And we find those out, Lord, by sharing our plans and speaking to one another. So help us as a church to know your will and to know your blessing and to know your guidance. May it be a profitable day. May it bring a rich harvest in months to come. We pray for all those who belong to this church, for the services Sunday by Sunday, for the preachers who come along faithfully and lead us. Lord, we pray a blessing upon this congregation and upon your people here. Bless our brothers and sisters, the youngsters, and all who have a connection with this church. We pray, Lord, for our nation. We think of the chaos that we perceive to be taking place in our government. And we seek an end to such chaotic days. We pray for your presence and your guidance in those who lead us. We pray that you would bless and encourage and lead us in the right way. Lord, give us good leaders. Give us a blessing that we might move forward with recognition of rich and poor alike. Help us to have a just and fair government who make wise decisions. And Lord, we pray for the world in which we live, and we recognise constantly the fighting that goes on in Ukraine and the difficulties and the harrowing sights that we see and reports that we hear. Lord, it's difficult to believe these things are happening just a few thousand miles from here. And there is such hatred and such difficulties taking place in so many places. Winter is coming. It's going to be a difficult place to be. We pray again, Lord, for your presence and your peace and for your hope in that part of your world. But for all places where there is fighting and hatred and chaos, we pray your presence. We ask a particular blessing on all those who work for the various agencies, for Christian Aid, for Tear Fund, for Save the Children. Lord, all these organisations, they seek to bring relief and help, whether it be drought or war, whether there be pandemic or various serious illnesses around. Lord, we thank you for those who, on our behalf, seek to be the hands and the eyes and the feet of Jesus. Bless them, we pray, in the work that they do. Lord, we come to you finally and bring to you those quiet and silent prayers in our own hearts for those things that concern us, for those people that worry us, for those things that we'd like to see different. Lord, in just a moment of silence in our own hearts, we quietly mention them to you. Lord, you promised that all who pray in your name, that you would hear us. Where two or three gather in your name, you are there amongst them. Lord, we pray this morning for these things and other things too. And we ask that you would hear these prayers, because we ask them in the powerful name of Jesus, who is our Lord and Saviour. Amen. I'm going to read the Bible and I'm going to speak to you. I thought we'd only have four hymns this morning, and I usually try and finish within the hour. Is that okay? I mean, to be honest, my view is this, that you know what you've got to do after the hour, go and do it. That's my view. Don't keep sitting thinking about it. So I hope to get done within the hour. And so I've chosen quite a small passage to read. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. I'm just going to pray a very short prayer. Lord, we pray that those two parables will be things that prompt our thinking and bless our lives. Lord, speak to us now, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, a couple of years ago, actually, about 2018, just before the pandemic struck, My wife used to go and have lunch with her girlfriends. They go out together, four of them, five of them actually, and they go and once every 6 weeks, I don't know why it's 6 weeks and not once a month, but that's how it was. Every 6 weeks they go and have a meal together. And then suddenly, a few, say 2018, one of their friends, Heather, suddenly turned to the group and said, "I shan't be here. Again, I'm not going to come back to this meeting," she said, "because last week we were walking in Ambleside, me and my husband, and we came upon a lovely cottage as we walked. And we suddenly realised it was the sort of cottage that we've always dreamed we might live in. And we saw the cottage and we suddenly noticed it was for sale. So we stopped, we knocked the door, we went in, we looked around and we put in an offer. And we bought it. And we're going to move in 6 weeks. My husband's going to retire, and I'm going to leave my job, and we're going to go and live in the Lake District." And they've gone. And that's it. End of story. She's a girl who's brought up in Kettering. She's always lived in Kettering. Her children live, children live a little bit further out of Kettering, but nevertheless, she has made this choice to go and to sell her home and to put all her pensions, as it were, in the same place, and to head off to this cottage in Ambleside. And we get my wife gets occasional texts, occasional pictures. We went out this morning after breakfast and look what we saw. And she sends pictures of the things, the life that she's enjoying and the things that are happening. Now that to me is a brave thing to do. She was 64 when she did it. It's a brave thing to do, to sell all you've got and go to such a place. Now Jesus tells us this morning about the kingdom of heaven. He tells us in very practical terms. He talks to us about a man who found treasure in a field. He was a labourer perhaps. He was digging the field over for somebody. And he found in this field some treasure, some real valuable treasure. Treasure worth a lot of money. And so he goes home, the Bible tells us, and he sells all he has. Now, can you imagine being the wife of this man? Can you imagine your husband or your partner coming home and saying, "We're going to sell the house and the car and the washing machine. We're going to sell everything we've got and I'm going to buy a field down the road." What would you say? You might be a bit disappointed. You might be a bit angry. And when he said to you, "Well, you know, it'll be worth our while in the end," you've still got to go through the hassle of selling and then buying the field and then digging up the treasure and then taking the treasure and selling the treasure and then trying to buy some sort of life. It's quite a complicated thing to do, isn't it? It takes a bit of effort. It takes a bit of thinking and it takes a bit of commitment and it takes a bit of loss. You lose something. You lose your old familiar house. You lose your old familiar car. You lose your old familiar safe neighbours. That's what you lose. But you gain a different life and a different future. You know, the kingdom of God, said Jesus, is like that. We have to give up something in order to gain the kingdom of God. We have to give up our old lifestyle, our old ways, our old sins, our old behaviour. We've got to stop. We've got to repent. We've got to turn around. And we've got to go in a different direction. It's got to be a change. You don't become a Christian and then suddenly carry on the same. You don't. There are changes that have to take place. There are things that have to stop. Behaviours that can no longer happen. And it's between you and the Lord as to what those behaviours are. But we do need to look at our lives and ask ourselves, when I became a Christian, what changed? What price did I pay? I went to college. I was just thinking some weeks ago about when I went to college. I always think about in October, going off to college in 1973 and starting my studies in Bristol. And, you know, we used to have a rather nice lunch on a Sunday. Now, I like my food, as you probably know. And I like to have my lunch on a Sunday with the other students. And also a rather nice tea. But the only problem it was always done at 12 o'clock. And I was at church from 11 until about 12:15. So in all my 3 years at Bristol, I never had a Sunday lunch. Because I decided it was better to go to church than it was to eat lunch with 300 18-year-olds. I know it doesn't sound very encouraging to eat 300 18-year-olds, but they really were good lunches. You had roast potatoes, so it must have been good. Oh, and stuffing as well. So that was the cost. It's a small cost, really. And then Sunday evening at 5 o'clock, instead of going for tea at six like everybody else did, the few Christians in the hall, about 18 of us, would sit and we'd have a little salad together with some cheese. Every Sunday afternoon, there was very little imagination in those days for those who didn't want to eat a proper tea. And we would sit there and have our little salad and we would then go off to church in the evening. And that was the cost. A poor Sunday lunch no Sunday lunch and a poor Sunday tea. That was the cost of being a Christian in Bristol. Now, it's a cheap cost, I accept that. But you know, this morning, we have to pay the price. We have to be willing to pay the price of belonging to Jesus and being part of his kingdom. You know, a friend of mine on this course in Bristol, his name was Geraint. Well, a very interesting Welsh name. We always called him Grunt. It was easier. And Grunt was part of the group. And then suddenly one day, after the first year, he met a girl called Sophie. And do you know what? He lost interest in us lads. He did. He lost interest in us lads. We never saw him again, hardly. You just see him in the distance, shaving his beard properly and rushing off to meet her. That's all you ever saw. He'd just say, "See you again, I've got to go." And he spent his time with Sophie. You know, let me tell you something. When you get married, I presume you've seen many marriages in this church. The bride walks down the aisle, the man stands at the front here. You give the bride away, or the father gives the bride away. And then when you've had the service and the reception, I'm going to give you some information now. The man and the woman who've just got married do not go back home to their separate parents and carry on living as though they weren't married. That's true, isn't it? I don't know anybody who's gone home after the wedding, the husband to his mum and dad and the wife to her mum and dad, and said, "We'll see you in the week sometime." It doesn't usually happen that way. It doesn't. I've heard some dreadful stories about men and women getting married and then the man having to go off to war and fight for a couple of years before he comes back and can start married life proper. So when you come to Jesus, when we come to meet with Jesus Christ, when we come to accept him as our Lord and Saviour and move into his kingdom, away from the kingdom of this world, we don't then go back to our old lifestyle. We don't just be Christians on Sundays or when we're with other Christians. We have a commitment and a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ every day. All the time. In fact, this phone of mine, how it's over there, this phone of mine, it gives my wife a chance to text me on a regular basis. In fact, I'm expecting a text before lunch to say, "Don't forget to get some carrots." You know, it's what happens. When you get married, you have this relationship. I mean, I did manage the first few years of marriage without this phone, by the way, and I've succeeded to 44 years without doing too bad. But this is a very handy reminder now that my wife can text me and remind me of things that she thinks I don't know. When we come to the Lord and accept his kingdom, we've got to turn, we've got to repent, we've got to change. It's got to be a different direction we face, a different life we live. It's like getting married to a woman or to a man. This is the way we change. And Jesus wants to emphasize this. He tells us about a man who collected pearls. And he had a good collection of pearls. He had every pearl you could imagine. He had all the pearls he ever wanted. And then suddenly he found a pearl that was the perfect one. The one that was absolutely the most wonderful pearl you could ever imagine. Now, I don't get excited about pearls. But this man did. And he wanted it so much that he had to sell all the other pearls in order that he might buy this one pearl of great price. You know, Christianity is a free gift. It's not something that costs. There's nothing you can do to make Jesus love you more or forgive you more. But it does come with a price attached. We are called to live out our lives and make wise choices. Now, you know, I'm going to tell you something. You probably know this, but you probably don't realise. You don't choose where you're born. You don't choose how many brothers and sisters you've got. You don't choose, in my daughter's case, how big your bum is. She always hopes, looking forward to when she goes to heaven, having the chance to choose a decent-sized body because she thinks her bum's too big. I didn't choose to have a bum this size, she says. And you don't choose so many things in this life. But one thing you do choose is you choose where you're going to spend eternity. That's your choice. You can choose to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. Or you can choose to ignore all that's said in church and in the scriptures and to carry on in your own way, sorting things out for yourself. And that will give you the other choice of spending eternity away from Jesus Christ, excluded from his presence, separate from God's grace and love. It's a choice. It's one of the few things we can choose in life. When you start looking at your life, you realise you don't have many choices. You might choose where you go on holiday, but even that's quite limited. But you can choose eternity. You can choose eternity with God. And that choice comes, as I say, with a cost, with a price. And this morning, I hope and pray that we're willing to recognise. You know, one thing you could do on Saturday, this away day, is get people to bring their bank statements in and read down the bank statement and see if you can tell if someone's a Christian by where their money's going. It's a good option, isn't it? It's a good way of doing things. Can you tell where they're a Christian, about where their money's going? The other day, my mother's 96 and I asked if she wanted fish and chips and she said she couldn't afford it. So I said, look, mother, you can. And then she gave me a bank statement. And to be honest, she's quite wealthy. But you know, she gives more than her pension away each month to charity. She's already given a donation to the Salvation Army for Christmas. I've never known a woman who's got more debits on her bank statement for charities and giving to good Christian causes than for her own circumstances and needs. Now, that's a little bit extreme. When you're 96, you can afford to do that, perhaps. But when you're not 96, you know, when Jesus met Zacchaeus, the one thing that proved Zacchaeus had changed his mind about Jesus and was willing to accept him was he was willing to give half his wealth away and restore those money he'd stolen to those people he'd stolen it from. That was the evidence. That was the proof that this man had met Jesus. He was willing for his wallet to speak. Now, there are many areas of our lives that need to speak when we meet Jesus. And as I say, it costs. It does cost. I wrote a check last week to the food bank, and I wanted to be a bit more generous than usual. And I'll tell you what, it costs you money. It costs you, you have to go without something to do these sort of things. So I want to encourage you this morning to recognise that Christianity is a free gift. But it does come with some responsibility. As with marriage, it comes with some responsibilities and some expected actions on our part that prove that we really do believe and follow Jesus Christ. I'm not going to say any more. We're going to sing a hymn, then we're going to talk just a little bit more as we come to our communion. But we've come this morning into God's house and we've come to seek his forgiveness and grace and to recognise that we need to give, like these people in the parables, everything we've got in order that God's kingdom can come and his will can be done. So we're going to sing our third hymn, which is How Deep the Father's Love for Us. And when the last verse comes, please, those who are going to serve communion, come and join me at the table here.
got a rather large roll to eat. You haven't done quite so well. You know, when Jesus was with some very respectable religious people, he turned to them and he said, do you know what he said? He said, the city of Sodom and Gomorrah are going to have more favour than you are because you do not repent of your sins. And so we come this morning and recognise that if we say we have no sins, then we deceive ourselves. There is no truth in us. But if we confess our sins to God, then he does keep his promise. He does what is right. He forgives us our sins and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So blessed is the one whose sin is forgiven, the one whose iniquity is put away. Blessed is the one to whom the Lord does not offer and impute any blame. For the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. He's slow to anger and of great goodness. He does not deal with us according to our sins. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love towards us. It's this streaming down of God's mercy and grace that we look to this morning as we come to receive it. I notice one part of my garden never gets the sunlight, and there's various lichen and other things growing in that part of the garden. And if we don't allow the light of God's grace to come into our lives, then things grow that aren't good. And we need to allow God this morning to come into our hearts and lives. And so I'm going to pray a short prayer, and then I suggest we say together the Lord's Prayer, if that's okay. Let's just pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, we pray that you would cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Spirit, that we might perfectly love you and worthily magnify your name through Jesus Christ, who is our Lord. And we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And so the apostle tells us that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. I'm just going to pause and just allow a moment of reflection as we consider our own need of God's grace and then pray a prayer of thanksgiving. So we pause and we pray. Lord Jesus, we are ashamed of our lives. We thought at this age and with so many years of Christian experience behind us, we might have behaved better. But Lord, we come to you this morning and we recognise we have sinned against you. We have failed you, and you had to come down into this world and die on a cross so that our sins could be covered. Our lives can be forgiven. We can be restored, ransomed, healed, restored and forgiven. And so, Lord, we pray this morning as we come now to take our bread and drink the cup, that we will indeed have a proper look at Jesus. We'll allow his broken body to come into our souls and our lives and to make a difference to us. And that we'll accept his blood as a sacrifice for our sin. Lord, we would like, in some senses, to pay you back. We'd like to be able to do these things ourselves and not need this grace and mercy. But we come this morning because we do need it. We need you to forgive us. And we need to be able to start again. So accept our thanks. And as we take the bread and drink the cup, may it be a blessing to us that keeps us in life eternal. So hear our prayers. Add your blessing to each of our lives, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So after giving thanks and praying, Jesus Christ took the bread, and he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body that's been given for you." We too will take and eat. And I presume you do what I'm used to doing. As you receive the bread, you'll eat it. And then when you receive the cup, you'll retain it. And we shall drink together. So this is the body of Christ given for you. In the same way, when they'd eaten the supper, Jesus took the cup and he gave it to them. And he said, "This represents the new covenant in my blood. Drink this, all of you." And so I'm going to... Okay. We're going to make a start at distributing the blood of Christ. This is the blood of Christ that is given for you. We retain it, and then together we will drink it.
Thank you.
This represents the blood of Christ that was shed for us. Let us drink and be thankful. Gracious and eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery into which we have now given ourselves. Grant that we might go out into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves to others in the name of Jesus, who is our Lord and our Saviour. Amen. And so we sing our final hymn, To God Be the Glory.
garden,